Hi, and welcome to the Global Warming Debate. It's April 28, 2006, 8 o'clock p.m., Friday night, and we're in the Library Reserve Book Room. This debate is between the Tetramers, consisting of Darren, Ted, Liz, and Anna, who will be taking the affirmative point of view that we should take more urgent action to halt global warming trend, and the Heaven Protectors, consisting of Team, Kim, Gabe, and Hatun.
Yeah!
That it's unnecessary to take urgent action. The topic we'll be discussing is global warming. Is more action needed? More extreme weather, floods, droughts, rising sea levels, hotter climate, acidification, glacier retreat, decline in agriculture, and spread of disease. To me, the effects of global warming sound like a page out of the Bible, but the problem is these things are already starting to happen, and they're caused by global warming. I'd like to start my opening statement with two quotes. Greenhouse gases are accumulating in the Earth's atmosphere as a result in human activities, causing surface air temperatures and subsurface ocean temperatures to rise. Climate Change Society, U.S. National Academy of Sciences, 2001. The scientific understanding of climate change is now sufficiently clear to justify a nation taking more prompt action. Joint Science Academy statement, Global Response to Climate Change. Earth is warming. Did you know that the average surface temperature of the Earth has increased by 1.4 degrees Fahrenheit over the past century, and the past decade was the hottest of these years? I also came across an article that says that the hottest 22 years on record occurred since 1980, and 2005 was the hottest year on record. Many people see this as mere coincidence, but in our opinion, we can't take that chance. The scientific explanation to the increase in temperatures is that global warming is largely the result of emissions of CO2 and other greenhouse gases from human activities. I guess I should start by telling everybody what the greenhouse effect is. The greenhouse effect is when the greenhouse gases, such as CO2 and nitrous oxide, trap the sun's radiant energy in our atmosphere. Normally, the greenhouse effect is good because it keeps the planet a nice, hospitable temperature for the species that live here. However, because of human activities such as fossil fuel combustion and deforestation, we're building up the greenhouse gases way too fast and we're in danger of baking our planet. In this debate, my team and I hope to educate the audience about the cause and possible solutions of the global warming epidemic. We're going to touch on the problems of fossil fuel combustion and reliance, the devastating effects of deforestation, and possible solutions to these problems such as alternative fuel sources. As residents of sunny San Diego, we'll be directly affected by global warming. When the ice caps melt away and the ocean temperatures rise and flood coastal cities, we'll be underwater and people in Miramar will have beachfront property. The scientists say that if we don't take action soon, the effects will be irreversible. Current predictions by climatologists state that by the year 2100, that's 94 years from now, when our children and our children's children still be around, we will see a 2.5 to 10.4 degree Fahrenheit rise in global temperature. It might not sound like much, but imagine a 90 degree summer day, and now add 10 more degrees. That's pretty hot. Especially for citizens of San Diego, where the temperature doesn't fluctuate by more than about 20 degrees throughout the entire year. This increase in temperature is also significant enough to kill off entire populations of species of sea life, disrupting the food chain and causing devastating effects. As I said before, humans are the source of the increase in the greenhouse effect. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, 32% of greenhouse gas emissions emitted by humans are from industrial process, 20% is from electric power generation, 20% is agricultural activity, 14% is the burning of fossil fuels for transportation, 12% is from commercial and residential activities, 2% is from waste disposal. So we're putting out more greenhouse gases than any other living species on the planet. And as citizens of the U.S., you can affect the emissions of about 4,800 pounds of carbon equivalent, or nearly 32% of the total emissions per person, by the choices we make. I think this fact alone should be sufficient reason to be more conscientious in our daily lives. We're all contributing to the global warming problem every day. For example, how often do you carpool or take public transportation? This is a global problem that will take global action to fix it. So many people think and ask themselves how changing what they do, the way we do things in America, can really make a difference. But considering the fact that the U.S. puts out more pollutants and greenhouse gases than anywhere in the world, we really can make a big difference.
What's up? My name is Team, like Team Player, like the winning team, like the team that's gonna kick your bizzle. I'll be speaking on behalf of the Heaven Protectors, and we're on the negative side of glowing warming because we're not afraid to take a walk on the wild side and take on the position that is less obvious. Thank you, Darren, for introducing global warming. I don't have to introduce it anymore. I'll just get right to it. IPCC, which are the people that is providing you with all these models, Darren, that you're basing your scientific data off of, is uncertain. Richard Lindzen, a highly respected atmospheric physicist, professor of meteorology at MIT, member of National Academy of Sciences, stated in the Wall Street Journal, "We are not in the position to confidently forecast what the climate will be in the future." He also wrote a letter to his town mayor stating that the impact of CO2 on Earth's heat budget is nonlinear. If the models were correct, then there would be an increase of CO2 and other man-influenced greenhouse substance by 75%. And it's only increased by, you said 33%, right, according to EPA. So that is wrong. And the temperature rise, as seen, is far, far less by a factor of 3 than the models predicted. So far, or so much for those prediction models. Second of all, based on American scientist Frederick Seitz, in the Environment News article titled, "Do People Cause Global Warming?" a team of scientists answered this question. And the answer was, scientific evidence clearly indicates that the global warming in the last 100 years is not likely due to most human activities. Not likely due to most human activities. Not likely due to most human activities. Hold on to your seats, touch your mirrors, because I'm about to give you some shocking evidence that will knock your socks off. The first thing to note is the first 100 years of global warming occurred in two stages. First half of the century, 1910 to 1940, a temperature rise of approximately half a degree. And at that time, the global emissions of carbon dioxide from cars, trucks, and factories was relatively low. So how could it increase by half a degree? And then the other half of the century, 1980s to 1990s, it increased by another just half a degree. And at that time, we are producing copious amounts of carbon dioxide produced by human activities. So even without the scientific evidence, and if we were thinking about it logically, how can one or two cars in the past raise half a degree, and now we have 600 billion, million, trillion cars driving around and still only cause half a degree rise? Darren, did your socks fall off? Anyways, so I'll go ahead and introduce my team members. First is Miss Kim. She will be talking about CO2 and how it's necessary for life on Earth. You know, certain molecules help us stay alive, which is something I guess is kind of important. The necessity of gas for controlled temperature on Earth, trapping of heat, insulator blankets. We all took our chemistry, we all know. Second, Gabe will talk about how Earth can adapt itself to changes and how those computer models of global warming is skewed, slightly skewed. Yeah, right, it's really skewed. And he'll be talking about big bucks for money-thirsty scientists as well. And lastly, my road dog, Haitun.
Yee!
He will focus on how we can better prepare for the effects of global warming. Rather than throwing out billions of dollars on global warming programs, there are other factors that are more essential to us to focus on than just giving all money and attention to programs that are not urgent as being argued. Okay, so go ahead. Who's next?
My name is Ted Schultz. I'm with the Tetramers, and today I'm going to be talking about why you should care about global warming, what greenhouse gases really are, how they are emitted, what it affects, and most importantly, who it affects. I want to start off by saying everyone knows about the AIDS epidemic, but not everybody else knows that global warming is equivalent to AIDS in the epidemic sense. Last year, it led to 5 million cases of illness and more than 150,000 deaths. Carbon dioxide is the main pollutant associated with global warming. In the last 250 years, there has been a 31% increase in the levels of CO2 in the atmosphere, and 23% of that 31% increase have been in the last 20 years. The IPCC, the International Panel on Climate Change, says that there has been a 0.6 to 0.74 degree temperature increase over the last century, most of which occurring in the last 50 years. It predicts not only that the temperatures will continue to rise, but a 2 to 3 times increase in the amount of CO2 will happen in the next 90 years. CO2 output is most directly linked to fossil fuel burning for energy plants and oil consumption in today's cars. The increased CO2 levels have altered condensation levels, which increase the frequency of extreme weather events such as floods, droughts, heat waves, hurricanes, agricultural yields, glacier retreatment, reduced stream flows, and biological extinctions, along with bacterial infections. NASA claims that 2005 was the warmest year yet, with every succeeding year being every new year being progressively warmer in their predictions. Methane is the second most important greenhouse gas. It is released due to flaring of natural gas, dump burning and landfill burning, coal mining, plant burning, and agricultural development. The Center for Energy and Environmental Studies at Boston University says there has been a 149% increase in CH4 or methane levels in the last 20 years. This accumulates to a whopping 292 metric tons. So what's wrong with methane in the air? It causes asphyxia, which is choking, for those who don't know, by replacing oxygen in the lower atmosphere. It also increases water vapor over most of the United States. It can also increase the amount of ozone lost in the upper atmosphere. Another one of the most important greenhouse gases is hydrocarbons. Hydrocarbons react with sunlight and produce ozone in the lower atmosphere, which is not good. It's commonly referred to or seen as smog. Smog has a tendency to increase lung disease and kill off plants. Chlorofluorocarbons are also a essential greenhouse gas. Typically, they are used as refrigerants, aircraft weaponry, dry cleaning, or other washing detergents. In the last 15 years, the increase in chlorofluorocarbons in the upper atmosphere has increased 60%. This harms the outer ozone layer, permitting more solar radiation to enter our atmosphere. So, what can we do as humans about it? We know that the greenhouse gases in the lower atmosphere have been increasing while the outer atmosphere ozone has been depleting. The outer atmosphere acts as a shield against solar radiation, and the increased greenhouse gases acts as a blanket to incubate us in the radiation that's reaching us. We know that temperature is directly related to energy, and that energy is related to the number of photons times Planck's constant times the frequency. If the frequency of the photons from the sun remains the same along with Planck's constant, then the only thing we can alter to lower the temperature is the number of photons. By increasing the ozone, or allowing it to replenish itself, and decreasing the amount of greenhouse gases in the lower atmosphere. So what effects do these have on you? Well, it melts snow in colder regions, it increases temperatures worldwide, it raises sea levels worldwide, it melts glaciers, it destabilizes traditional ocean currents, it increased disease, and it increased the cost of insurance. Munich RE and Swiss RE claim that the rising costs of insurance in the last few years have been linked with global warming because the frequency of severe climate events coupled with social trends.
Hi, my name is Kim, and I'm from the Heaven Protectors, and I will be rebutting against Ted's argument. So you say that CO2 is a main cause in global warming. Well, global warming greenhouse gases have certain molecules that help humans, plants, and animals. Some examples are water, methane, and carbon dioxide. These molecules are like gases that have been trapped inside of a greenhouse, and they trap as re-radiation energy. The greenhouse gases can be compared to an insulated blanket, as you said. They trap all of the heat in, but without having these gases on Earth, humans, plants, and animals would have a hard time staying alive. This is which is known as the greenhouse effect. And also, you were talking about how climate changes, as in heat waves, and that's a problem. Well, first of all, if greenhouse gases have a dramatic effect on climate, as humans, we live in a climate that is very fragile. Climate changes are inevitable. According to the United Nations, some climate change is already inevitable because of emissions that have occurred since the dawn of industrial age. While the Earth's climate does not respond quickly to external changes, many scientists believe that global warming already has significant momentum due to 150 years of industrialization in many countries around the world. As a result, global warming will continue to affect life on Earth for hundreds of years, even if greenhouse gas emissions are reduced and the increase in atmospheric levels is halted. So, as you say that CO2 is a main cause in global warming, it is a major fossil fuel that is causing the greenhouse effect. But later in my argument, I will prove to you that CO2 is vital for life on Earth.
Yeah. Sorry, Kim. I'm sorry. I strongly agree with you. Resume.
Okay, so here is my argument. I'm going to be talking about how greenhouse gases, how it helps the environment and the people. First of all, I'll be talking about the regulations of climate, and secondly, fossil fuels such as CO2 is not a pollutant. So what causes the greenhouse effect? Life on Earth depends on energy from the sun. About 30% of the sunlight that beams towards Earth is deflected by the outer atmosphere and reaches the planet's surface and is reflected upward again as a type of slow-moving energy called infrared radiation. As infrared radiation is carried by air currents, it is absorbed by greenhouse gases such as water vapor, carbon dioxide, ozone, and methane, which slows its escape from the atmosphere. If greenhouse gases are gone, people would not have to go to tanning salons anymore because as soon as they step outside, they will burn.
Damn.
Burn!
Although greenhouse gases make up only about 1% of the Earth's atmosphere, they regulate our climate by trapping heat and holding it in a kind of warm blanket that surrounds the planet. Which I have already said, it is known that the greenhouse gases compounds trapping solar radiation, which keeps more heat inside Earth's atmosphere. With more heat, the temperature increases, which has been seen during the industrial era, as I said before. According to a professor, Mark Jacquardimont at Fraser University, British Columbia, argues that people are believing that we must quickly wean ourselves from fossil fuels such as oil, natural gas, and coal, just to save the planet from environmental catastrophe. This view is misguided because we have the technological capability to use fossil fuels without emitting climate-threatening greenhouse gases or other pollutants. The transition from conventional oil and gas to their unconventional sources, including coal for producing electricity, hydrogen, and cleaner burning fuels, will decrease energy dependency on politically unstable regions. In addition, our vast fossil fuel resources will be the cheapest source of clean energy for the next century and perhaps longer, which is critical for the economic and social development of the world's poorer countries. By buying time for increasing energy efficiency, developing renewable energy technologies, and making nuclear power more attractive, fossil fuels will play a key role in humanity's quest for a sustainable energy system. Fossil fuels producing greenhouse gases such as CO2 has gotten a bad rep because people have believed that it is considered a pollutant. Carbon dioxide is not a pollutant. It is tasteless, colorless, non-toxic to humans at concentrations up to 13 times present levels and is essential to life. Plants breathe CO2, and as they grow and reproduce, they exhale oxygen, making Earth habitable for humans. Instead of a disaster, the expected doubling of CO2 due to human activities will produce a number of benefits over the next century. CO2, the process by which plants use sunlight to produce carbohydrates, the material of which their roots and body consist. Increasing CO2 levels speeds the time in which plants mature and improves their growth efficiency and water use. In addition, higher CO2 levels decrease water loss in plants, giving them an advantage in arid climates during droughts. In 55 experiments conducted by the U.S. Department of Agricultural Research, scientist Sherwood Issel increase levels of CO2 dramatically enhance plant growth. For example, IDSO found that with a CO2 increase of 300 parts per million, plant growth increased 31% under optimal water conditions and 63% when water was less plentiful. Farmers need CO2 based on nearly 800 scientific observations around the world. A doubling of CO2 from present levels would improve plant productivity on average 32% across species. Control experiments have shown that vegetables such as tomato, cucumbers, and lettuce average between 20 and 50% higher yields under elevated CO2 conditions. Scientists have discovered no environmental factor other than the CO2 increase that could explain the higher growth rates found in forests around the world. Ecosystems need CO2. The Earth's ecosystem should benefit from higher levels of CO2. Increased crop yields means that humans will not have to convert more fragile forest savannas and deserts into croplands to feeding growing populations. As forests increase, many current fragment ecosystems will regenerate, as many already have in Europe and eastern United States. Since trees will put on more mass under higher CO2 conditions, fewer trees will be cut to supply humanity's demand for timber. In the next argument, my teammate Gabe will elaborate on how deforestation has potential positive aspects to it. Finally, many scientists contend that outside of human society, the availability of food is a primary inhibitor of population growth. Therefore, as plants increase in size and numbers, so should other organisms. According to the government, mine safety regulations, atmospheric CO2 would have to rise as high as 5,000 parts per million before it is posed to a direct threat to human health. Since no scientist predicts a rise of magnitude in the next century, the anticipated rise in CO2 level predicts a magnitude in the next century. Okay, so overall, our society has, with climate, our society has to adapt with these and learn about the disease and how to reduce them or how to deal with flooding and precipitation changes, which you were, Ted was talking about. And later, my teammate Hatun will elaborate more on our society adaption on these changes in his argument. Thank you.
Yeah!
All right. Well, my name is Ted Schultz again. I'm going to be rebutting Kim. Well, Kim has a very good voice, and she speaks clearly. But I'm going to have to ask her to put down the crack pipe and step back to reality.
All right.
So
bring it.
Say that 1% of Earth's atmosphere is greenhouse gases, and that because of this, we don't have to concern about them because they make up such a small percentage. I figure that is completely illogic, because if we have such a small amount to play with, we should not alter it in the least bit.
Go, Ted.
Our bodies, along with many other organisms, including plants and animals, are very sensitive to just the slightest change in temperature, chemical composition, and radiation. And you also say that fossil fuels in the burning of fossil fuels in the future will be a cheaper resource. I highly disagree with this. We are feeling the effects now of running out of oil resources by gas prices skyrocketing in the last month or so. And you are not looking at the complete effects of CO2 levels when you say that plants grow. Yes, there are levels of CO2 that are altered upwards will cause an increase in plant growth, but this also increases the temperature of the world, which leads to death of many plants and animals because they have such fragile ranges of temperature boundaries. And I'm also have to argue with you a little bit about your sources. A lot of them come from the United States, which is highly undependable because a lot of our political figures are swayed by oil companies who use fossil fuel burning to make a living. A lot of these scientists have been contributed to indirectly by these oil companies and face pressure to skew their results in a downward manner.
Wow, Ted, that was really good. You really disproved a lot of her points.
My teammate Liz will follow with deforestation.
Hi, everyone. My name is Elizabeth, and I'm with the Tetramers, and I'll be talking about how deforestation is affecting global warming. Tropical forests do more than respond to local climate conditions. They actually influence the climate. Through transpiration, the enormous number of plants found in rainforest return huge amounts of water to the atmosphere, increasing humidity and rainfall and cooling the air for miles around. In addition, tropical forests replenish the air by utilizing carbon dioxide and giving off oxygen. By fixing carbon, they help maintain the atmospheric carbon dioxide levels low and counteract the global greenhouse effect. Tropical forests are also destroyed for several reasons, each of which have both similar and different ecological consequences, but none of which are beneficial. Deforestation by burning accounts for up to 25% of the annual global carbon dioxide emissions. Trees are half carbon, and by burning them, we release all of that carbon into the atmosphere. At least 3/4 of the deforestation in the tropics is due to burning, which releases about 2.4 billion tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere each year. Because the topsoil in rainforests is so thin, it lends itself to rapid soil erosion. Without the trees there to act as a buffer between the soil and the rain, erosion is practically inevitable. Soil erosion then leads to greater amounts of runoff and increased sedimentation in the rivers and streams. The combination of these factors leads to flooding and increased salinity of the soil. Now let me tell you that as forests are destroyed, 137 different types of animals, birds, reptiles, and insects disappear every year. That equates to 50,000 species a year. Also, 200 million people live in tropical forests. Their way of life is threatened because they are forced off their land to make way for the cutting, burning, and flooding. As the rainforest species disappear, so do many possible cures for life-threatening diseases. Currently, 121 prescription drugs sold worldwide come from plant-derived sources, while 25% of Western pharmaceuticals are derived from rainforest ingredients.
All right, my name is Gabe from the Heaven Protectors, and in regards to deforestation and its total effect on global warming, cutting down the trees may actually be creating a cooling effect. In no way am I saying that trees should be cut down or that deforestation is a good thing. I'm just saying that deforestation might not be having the same effect as what has been argued. Living plants emit almost a third of methane entering the Earth's atmosphere, and as I said before, methane is second only to carbon dioxide in contributing to the greenhouse effect. For a given mass of methane, it is a stronger greenhouse gas. According to NASA, molecule for molecule, methane is 20 times more effective at trapping heat. In an article entitled Blame the Forest, Dr. Kepler found that plants emit 10 to 1,000 times more methane than dead plant material. And as the plants were exposed to the sun, the rate of methane production increased. So deforestation can actually reduce the greenhouse effects at a pretty significant rate. Researchers at Lawrence Livermore Laboratory have found that deforestation can be linked to a climate cooling. They studied the period between 1000 and 1900 when the Earth's atmosphere dropped 2 degrees Fahrenheit. They studied the areas that had the coolest temperatures and also found that those areas had experienced the most deforestation. In a study conducted by Arizona State University in the eastern United States, where forests have been replaced by agricultural crops, it has resulted in a 1 degree Celsius cooling. In the same article, as I mentioned above, it was stated that the rate of methane increase in the atmosphere has slowed down in the last 10 years, and there was no really convincing explanation why that's been going on. It was said that the tropical deforestation might actually be a factor here. As for the argument that deforestation will amount to less CO2 absorption, trees and plants are living organisms, so they will soak up as much CO2 as possible. In a study done which exposed a group of pine trees to excess CO2, they were actually shown to have a greater growth in diameter of about 26% compared to the control trees who were exposed to atmospheric CO2 levels. So as I mentioned before, the effects of deforestation contributing to the effect of global warming might actually not be the case. So this brings me to my argument, and this is still Gabe from the Heaven Protectors. Urgent action towards reducing the effects of global warming is not needed because the Earth and its atmosphere will adapt to the changes produced by global warming in the years to come. The climate is always changing, as has been for a long time. In the past, humans have been able to adapt to all sorts of changes in weather and climate. So is global warming really something we need to address with such urgency if the Earth will be able to adapt anyway? No. Urgent action is also not necessary because computer models cannot accurately predict future changes of the climate because our atmosphere is far too complex. Let's look at some of the major arguments concerning the effects of raised temperature and the effects and how the global adapt. There's no question that there's an excess of CO2 being produced, but how that CO2 reacts with the environment is often misinterpreted. The CO2 is predicted to be the main cause of a rise in climate temperature, but according to Dr. S. Fred Singer, an atmospheric physicist at George Mason University and the founder of the Science Environmental Policy Project, the excess of CO2 causes an excess of water vapor. But will this excess of water vapor cause warming as predicted? Will the extra clouds actually reflect solar radiation and actually reduce the warming? Another factor that results in cooling of the climate system are the sulfate aerosols created by coal burning, which also reflect incoming light and cause cooling. Back to CO2, it itself is not actually a pollutant, and is actually a lifeline for the plants on the planet today, as my teammate Kim mentioned in her argument. CO2 will actually help the environment, and high levels should not concern us. Since carbon dioxide is essentially plant food, higher levels of CO2 will actually speed the growth of plants and create more food at lower costs for us humans.
Yeah, yes. Lower cost. Yeah. We need it. CO2.
In
regards to CO2 levels, in the Kyoto Protocol, an article in the India Times newspaper reported that Kashmir, a city in India, suffered from the highest snowfall rate it has seen in over 3 decades, with over 150 deaths. This occurred right after the Kyoto Protocol had been put into effect in February of 2002. We all know that India is one of the more populated and industrialized areas, but the record-setting snowfall and cold weather makes you wonder if the cuts are really needed at this time. Another major concern is that the ocean levels will rise and floods will occur as a result of melting ice caps due to increased temperature. Well, if there's an increase in temperature, then there will also be an increase in evaporation levels, which in turn causes more rain. More rain means that there will be more water falling over the Antarctic regions, which will turn into ice. So should we really be worrying about the accumulation of ice? As you can see, in the rise of sea levels will be counterbalanced by the rise in evaporation. And according to Dr. S. Singer in an article on NBC.com, he stated the observations show that ocean levels in the past 18,000 years have risen by about 400 feet and has been doing so at a uniform rate. This rate is not accelerating irrespective of cooling or warming. The sea levels will actually continue to rise at a slow rate of 8 inches per century as it has been. My teammate Hatun will inform you on what action should be taken in order to prepare for natural rise. Global warming has also been accused of causing floods and droughts in the near future. But Harry Lins of the United States has actually analyzed flood data and reported there's no increasing trend. This brings us to the models that predict climate changes. And the two temperatures that are looked at when producing models are temperatures of the Earth's surface and its atmosphere and the troposphere. In regards to the surface readings, Dr. Singer states that the readings are mostly taken using thermometers that are either located in cities or just outside of cities. As the cities expand, they grow warmer and the readings are skewed. Could these models and predictions forecasting global warming disaster be formed for other reasons besides informing the public to protect their well-being? Michael Crichton, in his book State of Fear, talks about how ecological groups have skewed data in order to create a sense.
Okay, this is Liz again. You were saying that CO2 levels are going to adapt to the world. And how is that going to happen? First of all, when it's warm enough to melt the ice caps, and how will they refreeze again? We can adapt to the changes because, as have been predicted, because they are affecting weather conditions. The world cannot adapt to these changes if deforestation is also occurring, because as I said before, trees grow and they take all the carbon dioxide from the air. And is when it dies, it is returned to the air, and this is something that trees do, but we don't have the capability to convert carbon dioxide into oxygen. And even though the IPCC's special report on emissions scenarios predict that carbon dioxide has not exceeded carbon dioxide levels, they don't deny that carbon dioxide is increasing year after year. Recent decades have seen record high average global surface air temperatures. The years 1999, 2002, and 2003 were the three warmest years recorded in the instrumental record. In fact, all of the top 10 warmest years on record have occurred since 1990. These records are the result of a century of global warming. Between 1900 and 200, global surface air temperatures increased by 0.4 and 0.8. And over the past 30 years, temperatures in the lower atmosphere have warmed by 0.0 to 0.1 Celsius per decade. Yes, this is a small increase in temperature, but it will accumulate with time. These changes in temperature have caused catastrophes like El Nino, Hurricane Katrina. Warming has resulted from numerous factors that influence climate. Some of these factors are natural, such as changes in solar radiation and volcanic activity. Particularly, emissions of greenhouse gases and land use changes, which are human in origin. Several different models and studies indicate that deforestation will lead to a reduction in average rainfall and increased surface temperatures.
Go, Anna. Pollution sucks. Just say no.
Hi, I'm Anna from the Tetramers, and I'll be discussing the development of nuclear and solar power. I'm sure that many of you are frustrated by the increasing gas prices. Not only are the oil prices costly, but it can be harmful to our environment and increases the risks of global warming. Cars are a significant source of the United States' carbon dioxide emission. Cars emit more than 300 million tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere each year, and that's just in the U.S. alone. The transportation sector alone in the U.S. is responsible for about one-third of our nation's total production of carbon dioxide. As a result, alternative energy sources that do not lead to the production of greenhouse gases must be developed. Currently, the United States produces 70% of its electricity from fossil fuels, such as coal, natural gases, and oil, but only 2% from renewable sources. As Ted stated earlier, the use of fossil fuels must be controlled, and alternative energy sources should be developed because we're running out of sources. The energy sources that emit little or no carbon dioxide are nuclear power, solar power, hydropower, windmills, as well as other renewable sources such as geothermal and bioenergy. Today, I will further discuss the need for the development of nuclear and solar power. Nuclear energy is a form of energy made from splitting an atom with a proton. Nuclear energy causes less air pollution, it is inexpensive, and it is a reliable source because it is less vulnerable to shortages. Nuclear power today is one of the safest methods to producing energy. One of its best qualities is that it produces huge amounts of energy from very little amounts of uranium. Nuclear power also produces small amounts of waste. Not only does nuclear energy benefit our environment, but the development of nuclear energy will also provide jobs to many people. Solar energy is also another type of energy source that helps reduce the effects of global warming. Solar energy is energy from the sun. There is an active solar heater and a passive solar heater. An active solar heater uses a type of fan or pump to move the heated air or water, whereas a passive solar heater moves the heat without a fan or pump. Solar energy is a clean power source that does not pollute the environment. Some solar systems work even if the sun doesn't shine, such as an evacuated heater. Solar energies do not require a heat engine, and there is an unlimited fuel supply. By putting energy efficiency, renewable energy, and vehicle technology solutions in place at the federal level, we could reduce the effects of global warming while creating a stronger, healthier, and more secure nation. As Darren mentioned earlier, we must take action. In order for the successes of these energy sources, the government must take action. The government can support research to improve existing technology and develop new technology. The government can enforce automobile companies to build more energy efficient cars such as hybrids. By investing in renewable energy and energy efficiency and increasing the efficiency of our cars, we could take essential steps toward reducing our dependence on oil and other fossil fuels that cause global warming.
All right, good job, Ann. My name is Atun. I'm part of the Heaven Protectors. Woo! I just drank a bottle of Red Bull and I've got my wings and I'm ready to fly. I'm about to rebut Anna right here. All right. So, Anna, you said you're hating on America. You know, we're producing so much of this and that. About we produce 25% of the world's carbon CO2. But you didn't say that with this 25% of CO2 production, we say We produce 31% of the world's wants and needs, like food, medical supplies, technology, defense for freedom, and so on. This is done primarily with the production of carbon through fossil fuels, which, you know, we need. Okay, the U.S. is decarbonizing its economy, and this will continue. We are doing what we need to be doing. Even though carbon dioxide, like Kim said, is not a pollutant, the energy from carbon allows people to live better lives. We can look forward to new sources of energy as the genius of America works on the next source of inexpensive energy. Any proposals to reduce energy consumptions by mandate, which would be like legislators and Congress, would not reduce the climate impacts of CO2. However, it would increase the energy costs. That means taxes. And I don't want to pay more taxes. I don't know about you guys, but I'm about to get like $3 away from the government when I just paid taxes just now. And about nuclear energy. Yeah, okay, we're doing nuclear energy, but did anybody forget about Russia? And it went boom, how it killed a whole bunch of people. Yeah. But we are looking for nuclear. We are working with nuclear energy and solar panels. All right, making solar panels with wind and things is a very good thing. But just now, 3 weeks ago, the government gave a certain solar panel producing company 1,000 solar panels. They have to make 1,000 solar panels for $53 million. That's $53 million per 1,000 solar panels. Now, isn't that a bit too much? And that will just come into taxes. Taxes where they're going to get this money from. And I don't have any money. I'm college student.
It's coming out of your pocket.
So maybe we should invest in spaceships so we could go live somewhere else, maybe ruin the planet.
That's cool.
Spaceships, go ahead. If you have the money,
Star Wars,
more power to you.
Star Wars.
You got wings fly.
We need energy to survive, so. Alright, so I'll be doing my my argument now. Alright, so you guys have all been saying all this about the temperature increasing and this and that and whatnot, but you guys didn't realize that all these numbers that you're getting, they're all skewed. They're all wrong. All these scientists are being getting their data from all different places. Let's say this scientist got it from the atmosphere or the stratosphere or surface temperature, but these are all different. They're going to come out with different data. And some of this might say the temperature's increasing or changing or decreasing, but how do we know for sure if they're all saying different things? That's what's wrong with all your graphics right now. What I'm going to say is, hey, until we know for sure, until all these scientists get together and say, hey, you know, let's make it one, we're going to take the temperature from one place and make it all coincide with each other, that's when we can say, oh, global warming is really happening or it's not. Till then, sit down and relax. According to Dr. Archer, in his book, Fate of Fossil Fuels 2002, he said CO2's atmospheric lifetime is variable. He said that the CO2 from burning fossil fuels result in an effective lifetime of 300 years. This means that CO2 has 300 years in the atmosphere to live. And that's why our main argument is that global warming has been occurring for hundreds of years. We can't stop the damage that has been done. It's too late for any urgent action because the problem is past the fixing point. The only thing we can do is prepare for other global problems that will affect us in the immediate future. The main point I stress to the Tetramers and the rest of the audience is that they invest today in the infrastructure that can withstand severe weather events that we know are going to continue. Not what's going to happen like 250 years from now, and we might have some temperature increase, you know?
Yeah.
We know that we're past the fixing point because of this 300 years of that carbon has in its lifetime.
Past the fixing point.
Yeah, we're already past the fixing
exactly.
point. Exactly. Are this you listening, means- Darren?
I just think he just contradicted everything.
No, he didn't contradict himself.
This means that even if we started today, stopped all CO2 usage, it would take 300 years for CO2 in the atmosphere right now to show some degree of decreasing or any change whatsoever. That means that we'd have to stop producing CO2 right now. And I don't know, but I can't stop breathing. What about you guys?
Yeah.
My analogy would be that, let's
just
say you're...
Breathe. breathe.
Let's say you're in the ocean, you're in a canoe.
Yeah, breathe in the CO2.
You're in a canoe and you're going along and there's a big wave that hits you. What are you going to do? You're about to tip over. Do you try to rock back or plug your nose, hold your breath, and try to swing around in the water and come around the other side? We're past that fixing point. We're past the point of no return. We're in a canoe and we're about to tip over. What we need to do is hold our breath and wait for the thing, wait for it to go around. Not try to rock ourselves because...
Don't be so selfish just because you won't be here in a couple of decades. Is that why you're not worrying about global warming right now?
Never mind. Anyway, all right. I'm not saying to twiddle our thumbs and sit here. What we need to do is try to focus on environmental factors that are troubling our world right now. Like, our world is affected by much more than these things that might happen. We're affected by hurricanes, tornadoes, and things like that. But I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, oh, global warming is a cause of hurricanes and this and that. Uh-huh. Right?
Yeah.
That's not true.
Then why isn't it true?
Because according to the Intergovernmental Panel, the IPCC, they said that, okay, in their third annual assessment report, there's no compelling evidence to indicate that characteristics of tropical storms have changed due to any global climate changes.
What's that? No evidence?
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Oh, yes, and again, no scientist has any evidence that
sorry, she has tips. Okay.
All right. My solution to this global warming would not to force energy prices up, therefore hurt the U.S. economy in general and the poor in particular.
Service.
But best, I would say, I would help America do what the innovative people of this nation do best: help scientists, engineers, and discover the next source of low carbon energy while building up our resilience to weather events like floods, droughts, tornadoes, hurricanes that we know are going to continue, not climate changes that might happen in the future. My point is not to throw in the towel, but to learn to accept the things that we cannot change, to continue to work at a frenzied but life-affirming pace, to change the other ones, or life-affirming, to change the things that are going to affect us right now before they do us in and kill us all.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Woo!
Yay! Tetramers, and I'll be rebutting your statement, Hatun. First of all, you were talking statistics, and you're saying that different scientists state different facts, and they're all false and everything. Well, that point shows that you're contradicting yourself and your teammates, because they're all stating statistics. So, so that is just contradicting yourself. You just...
Burn.
Yeah, there you go. And you were saying that it's too late to stop global warming, and all the effects are, you know, going to damage us now. But we want to protect our future generation. Don't you want to protect your family in the future? And people, little tunes running around and everything. Yeah, so in order for that to happen, we need to take extra precaution. We need to create, as I mentioned earlier, alternative energy sources. These sources are really practical. They're inexpensive. You know, there's really no harm that could be done just by taking these precautions.
Except for the $53 million that would cost us to make 1,000 solar panels, which would come out of our taxes.
Also, there you go, stating statistics and contradicting yourself again.
Contradicting myself?
Because you were talking numbers, and you're saying...
We were talking about the models.
The models, the climate models.
Anyway,
climate models.
Just
not
creating, different energy efficient resources, we could save money, we could create jobs, we could help our economy. We don't have to depend on different other countries for oil. For example, we don't have to be going to Iraq. We don't have to be spending our tax monies right now on Iraq and fighting the war.
But that's not about oil, that's about freedom.
No, it's...
But that's the different thing. That's all politics. We're not talking about politics right now, so...
You're talking about politics because you're talking about taxes, and you're talking that as taxpayers, we don't want to be paying for this, but that's not true. Go on.
All right. You guys. Conclusion?
Oh, okay.
You're like, huh? What?
All right. In conclusion, you guys had a lot of really good points, but I think a lot of your points were flawed for the reasons that we rebutted you for. All we're saying is that we do need to take action. You guys are saying that we need to invest in what we know, but we know that something's happening. We know that the temperature is increasing, and we know we need to do something about that. And most sources point to global warming, and all of our data is from, you know, great sources, really good stuff.
Great.
Ted went over how we're using too much fossil fuel and it's releasing stuff into our atmosphere and it's really polluting our ozone layer. It's burning holes in it. It's causing skin cancer. There's more deaths from global warming than there are deaths of AIDS nowadays. Liz talked about deforestation. She brought up some good points that I really hadn't thought about until she did the research about how when wildlife disappears, we lose species. People are forced out of their land. That may not be, you know, global warming, but that's pretty bad too. Also, losing species of plants because of global warming, that's a big problem too. Because, you know, like she said, there could be a lot of curious diseases, and who says that there's not going to be an epidemic? Gabe? Which time do I have? Okay. Gabe mentioned something that bothered me about, he said that the ice caps are going to melt and get rain back down to the polar areas and remelt. Tell me this, if it's already warm enough for the ice caps to melt, how are they going to refreeze? Okay.
No.
Anyway, in conclusion, we need to do something right now, and it's very important because we can't be irresponsible. We can't wait for future generations to have more information than we do. If we see a problem now, we need to fix it and get on top of it.
Thank you, Darren. This is Team again. And I'm for the Heaven Protectors. Just wanted to recap everything my group said. Kim reminded us that we do need CO2. Without it, we'll all die. And you guys know that too. Gabe brought up the argument that our Earth can adapt to these changes. And it's okay. I mean, nothing's been happening. And you guys are coming up with all these numbers and, or not numbers, I'm sorry, I take that back, models. We're not saying that statistics are wrong, we're just saying that the models are wrong. How can you guys predict something when you guys don't even know the future? I guess that's where the word prediction comes in. I strongly agree with Gabe that we are spending too much. We have our issues alone in our in the United States, right? We spend too much money for unnecessary programs that we don't have, that money that we don't have. We're we're in debt. Yes, I'm sorry. We have more important things to worry about, like the war that's going on in Iraq. You don't care about the war? Okay, who cares about people dying, right? And what about the cure for heart disease? Nothing in the news is about heart disease anymore or about the Katrina. We need to focus on programs on how to help Katrina. And what about the San Andreas fault that's about to break up? You guys are talking about, what, Anna and who are... Darren talking about increasing gas price. Well, have you guys been watching the news lately? There's been a war going on. The gas just went up like a dollar something a couple weeks ago because of the freaking war.
War's been going on for 3 years.
Okay, I know, but it's been getting worse.
And I love America.
And we have other things to care about, you guys. We have, like, you know, physics homework to do and for Mr. Tony DeMiro and, like, you know, I think we're just taking this global warming issue too far and just chill for a little bit. I mean, it's not like global warming's been a new issue. It's been in the politics. It's been in the media forever. There are hundreds of programs that are out there. There's EPA, and these governments are funded, and they're working on it already. They're finding solutions. Electric cars, hybrids, you know, cheap air, clean air, free air, whatever, and... You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. I'm just mad.
That's a lot of whatever's theme.
No, hold on. I'm sorry. It's a lot of whatever. Okay, it reduced, you know. And I think enough is being done already. There's a lot of programs that's being done for global warming. You guys are just sitting here whining that there's not enough, and you guys just want more. We do care about our kids in the future. That's why we are doing things about it. Hold on. Let me finish, Darren. I'm sorry. I let you talk. I didn't interrupt you. Can you please not interrupt me?
Interrupt me.
Okay? I just want for us to simply to enjoy life. I want us to go out and have fun. Nowadays, everybody is just so stressed out about this, this, and this. When really nothing is happening. We have evidence that nothing is happening. And it's okay the way we're living right now. When life gives you a lemon, make lemonade. Make a lemonade, Darren, Ted, Anna, Liz. Urgent action would probably force us to forget about our American ways and go back to the Industrial Revolution days. We're Americans. We represent the red, the white, and the blue.
People come here for opportunity, to prosper, and to live a more relaxed lifestyle. And that's how it should be.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Thank you, team. Because of what you just said, I am that much dumber.
Oh. Okay, that's cool. That's cool with me.
Awesome. All right, now our audience has some questions for us.
To the heavens people,
thanks for remembering our names. Okay.
Sorry,
What is your name?
Tim.
Okay.
Do you think that smog regulations on cars should be more harsh, or is it fine the way it is?
Who are you asking?
Smog regulations need to be more strictly enforced. We can't have no Hummer H3s, H2s rolling around, eating up eight gallons of gas. They're the big SUVs that are causing this high demand for oil and low shortage. If we want to continue wars in Iraq and other foreign countries, all we need to do is keep big SUVs around in our daily lives.
But have you seen that new Hummer? That shit's tight.
Yeah,
boy! Go vroom, vroom.
Well, you know, it goes back to our American ways. I mean, we do what we want to do, and that's the luxury of being an American, and you're taking away our American values.
That's how a 12-year-old thinks.
You're being irresponsible.
You're not answering my question.
It is irresponsible if you want to have a good time all the time.
If you're saying that it's irresponsible to have a good time all the time, I mean, isn't everyone in this room right now driving a car?
Yeah.
And what is that? Like, you're saying that it's...
I have a car that gets 30 miles to the gallon.
I get 60.
Okay, yeah, and so you're saying that we should...
Fly? I thought I was the only one that flew.
It's called the Prius.
But yeah, so like I was saying that, you know, we're not saying that, you know, it shouldn't be controlled. We're just saying that we should focus more on important things, like, you know, what Haitu said about the wars, right?
Choking to death from methane emissions is not important.
Wait.
I don't think you want to drown in your backyard.
But you know what? I said earlier in my argument that... That certain molecules help us stay alive, and it also helps plants, trees.
I think we're sidetracking.
Okay.
It's way over.
Okay, next question. Next question.
No.
We're just going to tell you the names of our audience and let you guys go.
All right, my name is Ian.
My name is Tim.
My name is Mary.
Yee!
And there's Mike in the corner.
All right. Thank you, audience.
Thank you.
We hope you guys learned something.